Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. It's Tuesday. And really not much going on, you know, personally. I mean, I spent, obviously we had Mother's Day weekend, but yeah, you do the whole usual dinner, and I think we just barbecue on the grill. Nothing too exciting. I mean, I personally, the way Mother's Day has transpired over the years, I remember it's a busy day, especially in terms of restaurants. Now, I mean, it's nuts. So, for me, if I could stay away from all that, I would. I think, I mean, for anyone, in terms of Houston, it's actually a perfect time to go to the zoo. Because on Mother's Day, everybody's going to cookouts. Order a cook on the grill at home. Order at restaurants. They're not the zoo. So yeah, if you're listening to this, you're from Houston, or just in general, in the even Pittsburgh, whatever. If you're looking for a great time to go to the zoo, do it on Mother's Day. It'll be empty. I spent the weekend also watching Cobra Kai. I watched the first two episodes of it. You know, if you want, you can watch them. The first two episodes of Cobra Kai are free on YouTube. So I upgraded to YouTube Red for the free trial, and it's weird having YouTube Red, because the thing about having this app is that when you play a song or anything now, when you close YouTube, the song still plays. I know when I was trying to shut off and switch to something else, you know, from watching Cobra Kai, the show, it was still playing. But anyways, Cobra Kai was really good. I love how they try that, how they went into this generation, is to relate, you know, to relate to it. Basically, Johnny's clientele is bullied millennial kids, and he's trained them to be badasses, pretty much. And you know, they do incorporate a lot of the old Johnny, you know, the old Johnny. Not so much the old Johnny, but the roles William Zabka used to play. Excuse me. Zabka played a lot of jock bully roles back in the day, and that's pretty much the reason why he stopped acting. Like, he just got out of acting. And then, you know, listen to one of his interviews during, I think, it was the 25th anniversary of Karate Kid. That's pretty much what he said, for the most part, was the reason why he got out of acting was pretty much all the roles he was getting were these bully roles, and he got tired of it. And so he went into more writing and screenplay and all that other stuff, theater. You know, he just went and did something else. But you have a lot of that. You have a lot of that in there, incorporated into, you know, more of a, I guess, you know, more of a sense of Johnny, where I guess he's learning from his mistakes and trying to put his life together. And of course, you got Daniel, who's been very successful since, you know, winning all those tournaments. He's got his own dealership, and of course, he has kids, and he's dealing with all that crap. Of course, he doesn't like it when Johnny wants to do Cobra Kai and does some. Daniel kind of stoops to his level on certain occasions, but I'll stop it right there and let you know. There's some really good scenes You could probably look it up on YouTube. They're there. Some good stuff. But let's get back to sports. Get some little stuff out of the way. I guess Ben Hoops had a grad transfer, and I'm gonna butcher his name, but his name is Sidian Deer. He's from New Mexico State. And I guess when I was told Jason Capel likes this guy, I don't know. I think if anything, he's just a body. That's all he is. I mean, if we're being honest. It's not like they landed somebody who was really, you know, who was really good, and he's just looking for somewhere else to land. No, I mean, that's just a body. If anything, he's a senior. Maybe he plays kind of a Crash Davis type role where he's been there and he's been to the show, and he tells these other guys, you know, gives them words of advice and wisdom and things like that. Really, it's all I really see of him. That's about it. But I believe Pitt has at least 2 scholarships to fill yet. So I'm curious what they do with him. I know up the front court is the big concern right now. Pitt needs that, a big man, but I'm not sure who's left that's out there. So, at the end of the day, trust the process. And I guess Pitt football lost a player yesterday. Reuben Flowers transferred out of Pitt. I thought he had the potential to lock some big minutes this year. He had a lot of potential coming out of high school. You know, he was a 4-star recruit receiver. But unfortunately for Flowers, you know, things just never took off here. I mean, he got playing time last year and really didn't create much of a splash. And pretty much when you're a 4-star receiver, that's pretty much the expectations. You're going to create some noise. And we all saw what happened with the spring game, where a lot of Pitt's starting receivers were out due to injury, and guys like Flowers had a chance to step in and shine while these guys were gone, and they were just very underwhelming. So, not to mention he's got players behind him coming in. And like I said, it goes back to what someone told me when their nephew got a Division I NCAA scholarship with a major program. Well, they once were major, I shouldn't say. But basically, you got to train hard every day, work hard every day, get better every day. Because they're going to recruit above and around you. So, you got to pretty much make your presence known. Get your role. And oh yeah, speaking of losing players, oh, I should have just brought that up too as well. As I venture up with Pitt Hoops, Parker Stewart's going to go play for his dad at UT Martin, I guess, which was, you know, doesn't surprise me, given his dad was handling his PR work. There's other places he could have landed, but he went to go play for his dad, and hey, you know, if he wants to do it, go do it. You know, he's no longer a Pitt, so it doesn't really matter where he goes. And, you know, fathers, you know, there's been plenty of father-son combos in coaching. I mean, you had McDermott's at Creighton, I believe. Yeah, those guys. You obviously have Bobby Knight and Patrick Knight. I think Patrick Knight's a coach somewhere, or he was coaching. So those are some examples to not, you know, to you know, to you know, to knock off. But it's odd. I mean, I thought it was odd, but it's not really surprising because he had some scholarships with different P5 schools he could have took, but I don't know, whatever. It's not my scholarship, I don't care. And so the big story from over the weekend was Pitt softball. Pitt softball made some noise through the ACC tournament. You know, they had some drama here and there. You know, Virginia Tech, walk-off homer. And they made their way up to the ACC tournament final. And, you know, they won their division as well. They won the Coastal. But people said, you know, despite that, they still would have trouble getting in, which they did, because they got the tournament final. And I remember, I forget what I was doing that day, but I remember checking with Twitter and it was 4-0 and I was running some errands. And I saw they were 4-0. That's where I was taking my kids to lunch, I believe. I was taking my kids out. Yeah, it was 4-1 when we left. I remember it was 4-0, but then all of a sudden Florida State started scoring runs, and I said, oh boy, here we go. So I remember then, as I was coming back home later in the day, I looked on Twitter, and of course, I saw a few tweets, and yep. Pitt lost 5-4 in a walk-off homer. And as some people said, that pitcher, you know, Pitt's pitcher was becoming unglued before their eyes, and it was just sad to see. But tough loss, and the expectation was Pitt would go and, you know, they were just getting at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. And naturally, Pitt got snubbed. And naturally, Notre Dame got in. And supposedly, Notre Dame was fourth on the Coastal, whereas Pitt won the Coastal. And if we're looking at RPI, because it's such a big measurement, depending on your agenda, Pitt's to Notre Dame's RPI was barely any different from each other. Notre Dame's was higher, was a better RPI, but not by much. Maybe a few spots. That's it. But naturally, they're going to roll in these type of situations. They're always going to roll in Notre Dame's favor. That's just how it is. And it's like that in college basketball too. You may be a mid-major and you may have an RPI of 40. But the committee, they'll take a team from the P5 conference, like the SEC, with a 19-15 record, RPI being like 63. They'll get in over the mid major with an RPI of 40 and probably a better record and everything else. And if I'm the committee, I'm looking at Pitt's running through the ACC tournament. I'm like, hey, you know, these girls are playing pretty well. They may make some noise in the tournament. But no. Obviously, in case of Pitt, they had to win their conference title, which goes to show you how tough it is really to be a mid-major, especially if you play in a one-bid conference at that. Whereas you may have the best team in that conference, but there's obviously a chance that you're not going to. There's a chance you may not play in March Madness come tournament time. You may get knocked off by a lesser team during the tournament. So, trying to schedule the right you know, teams is important out of conference, but of course, you may be so good as a mid-major that those major teams don't want to schedule you because it just doesn't benefit them. So, obviously, a lot of politics here and there in that case. But anyways, I got my 15 minutes into this. Really, this is pretty much, like you say, a glorified news dump. I did see one blog by the name of Bilo Sports. He's, I guess, doing draft grades for the NFL. He did some projected win totals for the ACC football teams, and I'll probably dive a little deeper into this, you know, next show. But he has Pitt so far projected winning only two games this year, and that's Syracuse and Albany. Well, to me, if he's made, I'm curious how he's making his projections, which I'll probably ask him. How are you projecting Pitt to only win two games next year? And if you look at Pitt's schedule, he does list the teams he projects that they'll lose to. And obviously, Pitt's schedule is going to be a lot tougher. Very tough this year. That's why, you know, the defense I think will play well, but the offense, it's vital that they get something going. Quarterback, you know, running back are fine. Offensive line, I'm curious how that's going to pan out. They're underperformed this past year, and they need somebody to step up in the tight end because they need that. Because obviously, guys like Orndorff and Holzer missed. And they need somebody to step up in the receiver game as well, because Jester Weah is gone, and although he's not much, but he's not an entirely big loss. They need some other guys to step up in receiver and be the man, because we really haven't had that in a while. Yeah, but that's just how that's going to go. But Pitt will win more than two games. If they get some of their stuff figured out on offense, they'll win 7-8 games. If they have that badass offense like they had in 2016, they may win a lot more games, a lot more than the 8 or 9 games. We'll see. But your obvious favorite is going to be Clemson every year. That's pretty much going to be automatic for a while. Just like with the Big East and Miami. Towards the end, it was expected that Miami was going to win the conference because they were just, they're Miami. And I guess, down in Houston, Lance Zierlein has his show and he does his NFL scouting and things. And, two players, I guess, that stick out to him that could contribute to the Texans is Jester Weah and Jerry Jones Smith. Both were undrafted, these were undrafted players. And in the case of Weah, he knows that he really didn't have a good situation at quarterback, so his numbers suffered. He also shoots himself in the foot. He acknowledges the fact that Weah shoots himself in the foot a lot at receiver. For one really good catch he has several bad drops. But he does feel that the Texans could utilize him in some ways. He could be very useful. Like Thomas Train, a useful engine. Then, of course, Jerry Jones Smith, he really likes because of his long arms. And, if he gets better coaching, because obviously the offensive line underperformed last year, he may be a starter. So, let that sink in. But, anyways, guys, I'll let you have your day back because I have nothing else to talk about. It's a lot. Basically, this was like pretty much a big news dump, but. Oh, well, enjoy. Count a bit.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.